we were dying to interact with each other.
Yeah.
And we would, on set, we were on what they would call on ice, where you're not allowed to talk and you have a microphone at all times. So we would just sit in a room, like a dark room, one lamp.
What?
And just stare at each other.
Oh, my God.
And it was like you would, we learned to communicate with our eyes so hard on how we felt like we did.
Oh, my
like,
God.
It was so, the bonds that were formed with like 10 words a day were insane. Dive in radio.
Okay.
Can't be too different, right?
Right. You don't have to wear your headphones, but if you want to,
I want to.
We're like locked in here.
Yeah. So makes me feel official.
Basically, as close as you can. Like they're directional. Yeah. So here you
okay.
go.
Okay.
So was your was the radio with Fox News here in Austin?
No, it was with CJ Morgan on 101X.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I only asked because I saw something like that. Yeah, I have to do research.
I know. I was actually thinking about this morning how much work people don't realize. I used to interview musicians.
Oh, yeah.
I worked for Austin 360.
No
People
shit.
Don't realize how much work. Like, they hear the 1 hour that they hear.
Right.
They don't think about all the hours that goes into it in advance. Like, you have a ton of work every time. And the number of episodes you have, I can't even imagine the hours you've logged.
Well, so you were interviewing musicians.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I worked in the advertising department, and I sold a sponsorship to Bud Light.
Okay.
And they wanted music affiliation, so I created this whole, like, music series.
How did you fall into that? Like, did you...
I sold it, and then I was like, I'll host it.
Wow, that's... I'm going to say
I volunteer as tribute.
That's pretty awesome.
I got to meet some great musicians.
How does everything sound, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really cool, sitting across from another interviewer.
Well, you know,
which is I'm sure you're better at it than me. Interviewer.
Like, I like the way you interview, though.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because all of your podcasts take a very different direction, I've noticed.
Okay, all right.
Like, hey, and that's nice.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was listening to Amir last night because I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
A little South Austin action.
I'm such a fan of his.
What I was going to ask you, and I said I'd save it for the pod. Mm. Well, welcome to the podcast, Chef Amber.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, thank you for coming out. Did you have to come far?
No.
I get a sense that you're...
I'm a Southie.
You are a Southie.
I am a Southie.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the 04.
Okay.
Like, not far at all.
That's okay, because I... So, like, I had seen you cooking some private dinners when they're not so... I was thinking about this. They're not very private when I'm seeing them, right?
They're not that private. But that's the thing is people love that.
Right, right. But I'm seeing you cook. You're with Vish out there. And that's like, I think they're all on the lake.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I was like, you probably live out
there. I lived in Lake Travis for like 10 years when I was married.
Okay.
My ex was born and raised out there.
All right.
And so-
Not a bad place to be.
Oh, it was, you know, people thought I was crazy because I worked downtown and I would drive both ways. But I'm like, do you get in the lake at the end of every day?
Yeah, and also it's like you get away, right? Like from...
It felt like actually leaving town.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, at this point it kind of
is. It's kind of like camping, right? If you go camping just for a weekend and then you return to work, it feels like you really... It's not like you just went home for the weekend.
Exactly. Time spent further away matters.
Right, right. Yeah. So all the way on the lake. But it can be horrible with the traffic.
I didn't realize it. I'm one of these people that's just like... very happy and accepting of my situations in life. It never occurred to me that like sitting in traffic an hour both ways was a problem. I was like, oh, that's when I listen to podcasts. That's when I listen to music. That's when I call my best friend. That's Dance Party USA. That was my me time.
Right.
Never occurred to me until I moved downtown. I was like, oh, that sucked.
Right.
got it.
Well, but that's great, though. So you are from Austin.
Well, I've been here 14 years. I'm from San Antonio.
Basically.
Central Texas.
We would call this North San Antonio.
At this point, it's kind of becoming like a DFW thing.
I think, we're on our way there.
We're headed.
So you've been here for 14 years, and you were married for some of that time. Was he also a culinary arts?
You know, he arguably taught me a lot that I know.
Okay.
My mom was a great cook. I've always loved eating. And something that did really kind of sell me on him was he's a great cook. And he was a very different type of cook than I was. I'm a very like, what can we make super tasty in 20 minutes or less because I don't have time kind of person. He kind of really exposed me to like slow cooking, true barbecue.
Okay.
sous vide, some more elevated sort of things. And it was something that he was passionate about. And he had considered going to culinary school, but went a different direction in life. And it was something I think that was our initial bonding point. Our first date was H-E-B.
H-E-B.
Truly.
Yeah, that's a great place for a first
date. Yeah, I mean, you learn a lot about people there.
The honeymoon's at Central Market.
I mean, if you're lucky. If you're lucky, depending on what kind of guy you snack.
Right. Well, that's cool. So there's, we were talking about researching. A lot of times there's not a lot of research or a lot of things to find. Sometimes there is. With you, there is.
There's plenty to find.
And I guess that's why I know that, so you were not trained. You did not go to school.
No, I've never worked in a kitchen at all. I worked.
Oh my God.
No,
I didn't know.
Yeah, I worked in restaurants in high school and college, but front of house, I was a waitress.
Really?
They would sometimes let me cut tomatoes before service.
Oh, wow. And I like how they had to let you.
They let me. I would go back there in the morning and be like, can I help?
Here's a serrated knife.
Yeah.
Put on a cut glove.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I had scars all over my arms the longest time because I was really bad about, I would just tap the pizza oven.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of like, I'm not very tall. So when I would kind of go up into the pizza oven, I would always end up burning more of me than anything else. So for the longest time, I looked like I had something interesting going on.
Yeah. Those are the battle scars.
Yeah.
Those are worn with pride.
Exactly.
that is, so there you go. Fun fact, never worked in a kitchen. So now, do you think that's something you would explore?
You know, it's so interesting. It's a very different type of cooking. It's a very different discipline.
In a kitchen, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, and in the kitchen, we're all on the same page, just thinking like a line of chefs calling out an order.
Exactly.
Because there's all types of kitchens, too.
Of course. Like, I cook in a kitchen, but it's not a commercial kitchen at a restaurant.
Like, how does she cook if she doesn't cook?
Just it's all in my heart.
Right.
No, I mean, I think I admire line cooks and chefs in restaurants.
Yeah.
That takes a grind and passion. Some of my friends from the show do that. Ruel from the show, he manages the kitchen at the World Trade Center. And he does these massive events, but he does it every damn day.
Yeah.
And I'm talking from 5 a.m. till 1 a.m. It's crazy, the hours,
crazy.
The passion. I love feeding people more than I love cooking.
Okay.
So I love to be part of the reaction. I love to see that moment. I love to be a little more intimate. And I think, I don't know if I can have that.
Right.
Well, what makes me tick?
Like if you would be on a line or something.
Yeah. Not unless they're going to let me run out there every time.
I think like a chef does get to do that. You know what I mean?
At the top.
Right. If you get up there. Yeah. If you get your stars and stripes.
You get to go schmooze a little bit.
Right. And yes, that's a big part of
but
it.
But I have
right?
no designs on thinking that's where I start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's very odd that I was on a Gordon Ramsay show. Thanks to the format of this,
so,
it happened.
Right. So the premise of this, the Next Level Chef, was because so I watched, I did not watch every episode.
No need.
But
not
I,
offended.
But I watched. We were into it, right, when it came out. But there's like, it was just weird because you're like, there's like, oh, I'm a TikTok chef. Like,
well, and it's all portrayed pretty strangely, if I'm being honest.
I mean, yes, be candid.
Because only two of us on the show weren't making a living through food.
Okay, so
five home chefs kind of
looked like when they say I'm a TikTok chef or something.
Yeah, that's how you're making your living. Or like, they also do food delivery. They're meal prep service. Yeah. They are a lot of people were that a lot of private chefs that were called home chefs.
Yeah.
And now to their benefit, they did not go to culinary school. Okay. They don't work in a restaurant.
So no one on that series had gone into a culinary school?
Oh, plenty had.
Well, they had.
Plenty had.
So there wasn't like a criteria.
I think there was like 5 or 6 of us who had not been to culinary school, but only truly 2 of us that worked outside of food.
Okay.
There was 2 of us that just didn't have food jobs.
So what was your job?
I still have it. I still work a full Monday through Friday, 8 to 6. I work... This is interesting. I work in the end-of-life business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm at a startup that has conservation forests, and we do that by allowing people to spread ashes at the trees within the forest. So I talk to people and I help them pick out trees. So right before I came here, I was talking to someone whose dad was dying, and then I just like switch gears real quick.
Holy shit.
And then after work, I go cook, and it just never stops.
So that is quite the, like... I mean,
there's the funnest fact of all.
That is so. That's interesting because does it ever I mean, the obvious or my first question is, does it ever bother you?
Oh, it's hard. I'm a huge empath, but that's why I can do it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think most people would be like, I don't want to talk about death all day.
Right.
And I'm like kind of dark and weird. So I'm like, I'll cry with you.
Okay. So does, are you like at this, do you like, are you totally accepting of death and everything? Is this like a thing?
No, it's separate. That's for the. Yeah. No, it's funny. It's like I coach people all day on accepting life and death. And
that's a big thing to be talking about.
Oh, man. Especially when you're talking to somebody who's grieving or is terminal themselves. It's kind of like the audacity of not having been in the situation, right? Like, I've never lost a six-month-old baby. I've never personally been facing death.
Oh, yeah, that's all awful.
Awful.
Yeah.
But it's also an honor to help people because what we do and what I do is it brings them a ton of peace. Yeah, and so it's an honor.
I'm going to be taking pictures during this story.
I just figured you got bored.
No. I always forget to tell people and then it's awkward. But
I've actually gotten really used to random photos being taken. At this point.
I mean, so with the, but what you're talking about, like being an empath, like, yes, I can see like you would have to, because you're at the end of it, it's a positive thing.
But there's moments in between.
Or if you don't sell them, they're like, get away.
Yeah, it's hard. But it is also, I mean, the nice thing is I work for a startup that is based in California. Okay. Which means I work with like these very lovely hippies, basically, who are super supportive if you need to go.
Do they have like these islandy talks? Like they're like, we got to go further inland. I got to get my sand out of my sandals.
I oftentimes on our like group Zooms, half the company is like on the beach.
Yeah, that's
crazy. It's true startup. And they let me take a month off for the show and they let me take time off whenever I need to go cook or travel. Like they've been amazing.
So is everyone in this company like, did you see the latest We Crashed episode?
Yes.
Yes?
I mean, they all just like, it's anything to do with nature, trees, like anything.
Yeah.
This is the tribe.
Okay. That's fun to be a part of.
It's pretty cool. It's very different than I am. Like I came from media and advertising and very like cutthroat. So I came to this little startup and was like, whoa, y'all are nice.
Yeah.
Like y'all are sweet to each other.
I'm sure you like it though.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cooking was totally on the side.
Cooking was, I had never connected the dots that I could monetize that passion. Mm-hmm. I loved, my whole life, I've loved feeding people. And that was kind of my, like, move in college that would, like, set me apart from other girls. Mm. I'd be like, yeah, but when's the last time a girl made you dinner? You know? And when you're 19, people are like, never.
Right. That's a good pickup line.
Yeah. And I was all about it.
Right.
But I've always loved it. It just never, to me, it was a me versus that's them. It's almost like, they're like, chefs are like doctors to me. Didn't occur to me that that was something I could do.
Right, right.
I could decide to do that without it being some huge major thing. And for some people it is.
Yeah.
Some people have to fight really hard. I was given a beautiful opportunity that automatically gave me clout that people now will hire me and trust me.
Yeah.
But it never occurred to me to like monetize the passion.
Well, I mean, yeah, and how fortunate, right?
So I'm so lucky.
You mentioned some of the guests on the show were private chefs.
Yeah.
And now like I've seen you like
cooking. And now I am.
Right. And now you're so, and it takes, some of the private chefs are extremely talented.
Oh my, Vesh, who you know that I work with. Yeah. Oh my God.
And you're working a lot with him and he's
I call him my mentor. I mean, he's taught me so much.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's a beautiful thing about cooking is just constant learning.
Yeah. When also it's communal. I think breaking bread, you know, eating we think about, but the art of cooking together is, it's almost like being an orchestra or playing a sport.
Oh,
you,
sure.
You get into this flow and I think there's a natural bond. You see it, you know, with your guests all the time. It's a natural bond.
Yeah.
And it's the first thing I tell people about Gordon Ramsay.
Right.
He automatically treats you with this camaraderie and respect because you share this big passion with him. Right. No matter where you're at on the spectrum of skill, he's like, oh, you're one of my people. And I think that that translates in the food community, period.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting, like, a whole subject, right? The food community. Because I won't say who. But, you know, like you go out to eat with people and if they're not in the industry when you are.
It's different.
Right. Well, if somebody's like giving a server a hard time.
I'll say something.
It's very difficult to watch. I mean, I'm always like, take it easy.
Yeah. Well, just
basic human kindness. And there's like I think people are like, it's like the word server.
they get a very big misnotion about what that means.
Right. So you're in there, you're getting served. That you are like, give me my grapes.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, it puts you in this weird, like, Romanesque sort
but,
of.
But some people flow with that, right?
They're, well, I think a lot of times, I'm going to say it, I think those people are lacking power and control in the rest of their life.
Sure.
When you see somebody, I'm like, oh, your wife's mean to you at home, huh?
Right.
You don't, like I you said, don't get to like, call any it's shots, like this do you?
Big, it's a big, yeah. You know, it could go down so many paths.
Of course.
But as like, but like the tribe, the people, like whether you're a dishwasher, there's like this, I mean, we used to call it like a pirate ship. You know what I mean?
It is like a little gang, it's little a, culinary
yeah.
gang.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's at all levels. Yeah. Whether you're a busser, a dishwasher, a chef, yeah. a waiter.
Yeah. It's
server.
Exciting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
it's a team.
Flexibility too, I think. Like people are pretty cool with situations, right? If the going yeah. on outside of work, they're understanding. So, but yeah. I like that. Even Gordon Ramsay.
I felt that from him. I mean, he kind of treated me the way he does the kids on MasterChef Junior. Like, he was pretty sweet to me.
Yeah.
Because he knew, you know, he knew that I was a home chef in the truest sense.
Yeah.
And that there was a lot of things that I should know better on, and he would tell me, and there was things that I wouldn't know better. And right. he'd be really kind about it.
So, no private chefing until after
correct.
The show?
Correct. Zero okay. experience. I don't know who I thought I was doing the show.
I don't, forgive me if this has been asked yeah. many times no. and it's redundant, but how? Where
how
did
this
it come?
Happen?
Yeah. Have you said this a million times? Probably.
It never fails to amaze me, though. It's yeah. so ridiculous.
Okay.
Okay. So this all starts, if you will, set the scene. Pre-COVID, early 2019,
yeah.
I am at your local Sonic Drive-In with one of my good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And we had the sillies. We just had the classic girl giggle fit.
Okay.
And I posted a video on Instagram, geotagged it at Sonic. Nothing, whatever. I get a DM like a couple weeks later from someone saying they're a casting agent and that they want to replace the two guys that have been on the Sonic commercials forever with real people. And so they're looking for people who actually go to Sonic and thought we were really cute and funny. And I was like, this is a scam.
Right.
Somehow,
immediately, right?
Somehow I end up broke in this. I don't know what it is, but this is a scam. I look it up and it's a completely real casting company. This is a completely real human. Her name is also Amber. And so we...
A lot to take in right then when you find
yeah,
out it's real.
Yeah, it's real. And so I'm like, well, this is silly, but we'll try it. And so she asked me to like gather up a couple other friends because they're looking to fill a spot for like four girls.
Some Southies?
I gather some other gals that I know okay. that I have a silly dynamic with. And, you know, quite frankly, we made it pretty deep. And then honestly, like, everyone's pretty sick of blonde white girls.
Okay.
Like, we've seen that. We've, like, that's been played out in the media. We're over it.
Oh, what are people onto now? I didn't know that.
Any sort of diversity, culture, that's, intrigue.
Okay.
Like,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, we kind of look copy-paste, the four of us.
Sure.
Like, boring. Okay. So we didn't make the cut for that. Didn't blame anybody. But Amber, the casting girl, was like, I really like you. I think you're fun. I'm going to put you on something. So she contacts me during the pandemic for Love Island.
Love Island.
Mm.
No, I did not know about this. Should I know?
No.
Okay, no.
No. Love Island.
Where's that going? Is that like Naked and Afraid on an island?
It feels very Naked and Afraid. And so it's basically, yeah, it's basically like this dating show where they send people to this island and see who hooks up type of thing. And I was like, well, this doesn't feel very me.
For sure.
Not, and you know, I'm pretty fresh off of a divorce at this point.
Sounds potentially scary. Yeah, that's a real good way to rub it.
And I look at like the previous seasons and all of these girls are like 23.
Oh, yeah.
11 feet tall, more abs than I thought were anatomically possible.
Oh, so you got self-conscious.
I did. I got very, and then they come back and they're like, how old are you? I'm like three interviews in, just seeing where it goes. They're like, how old are you again? And at the time I was 33 and they were like,
oh, really?
Yes. And I was like, ugh. Right. Did you just tell a divorced girl she was too old to go on your stupid dating? Like, right. I was so wounded.
So much for diversity.
Oh, it hurt.
Like, they're just like, oh, the hell.
But the truth was, I was already forecasting. I was like, ironically, I was like, I'm going to end up stopping people from making bad choices, making people sandwiches, like hangover. I'm going to be den mother
could've
so fast.
Could have been fun. I'm sure it would all be good.
It would have changed the whole dynamic of the show.
Right.
And then I was like, no. So fast forward. She was like, I'm casting for a Gordon Ramsay show. Told me nothing about it other than... It's going to be amateurs, like home chefs.
She knows you cook.
She knows. She's been following me for years at this point. She knows I cook, put dinner on my stories every night. I love cooking. And she's like, it's going to be amateurs and then like line cooks. So I'm picturing maybe like my friends over at the Waffle House who make the same hash browns every day. I'm like, this is not intimidating.
Right.
I am not intimidated by this. I can do this. Get through the hellacious interview process, the psych evaluations, video interviews.
Because you're going to be like in a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
You have to be psychologically sound for this. You're not going to pull a Jack Nicholson.
No. And have you heard about the Gordon Ramsay effect?
I mean, I think when you said his name, I felt something. So
many people have died after being on his shows.
Oh.
Many. Like, it's a phenomenon at this point.
Knock on wood.
But largely due to self-harm.
Cheers. Let's live it up a little
Cheers.
Bit.
Cheers. So they want to make sure you're not one of them.
Farmhouse Delivery launched in 2009 and is now the largest farmers market in Texas, focused on connecting local farmers and ranchers with their communities who are hungry for healthy, organic fare. They also offer curated grocery store items and chef-crafted meal kits through their in-house kitchen. For a limited time, Farmhouse Delivery is offering a free medium local produce box to all Austin All Day listeners. Visit farmhousedelivery.com for more information and use the discount code Austin All Day at checkout. This is a great opportunity. Thank you to all our listeners and thank you to Farmhouse Delivery.
So they want to make sure you're not one of them, and they want to make sure you can handle scrutiny because you're going to be in a public forum.
Wait, don't tell me it's because like his persona is.
I don't think so. I really, unless he's changed a ton, he did nothing to me that made me.
No, I think on this. In particular,
he's sweeter.
Right. But like Hell's Kitchen is like.
It could be partially that. And then also the hate mail you get is very real.
Oh,
they told me it was coming and then it came.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they make sure of all that. But I get through all that. And they basically told me in 2 weeks you leave. Okay. We want you to come. I was vacuuming.
Wow.
I got a call and they were like, we want you to come. It's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, and what I said was, I'm vacuuming.
I'm
vacuuming. Because I didn't know what to. I was just like, wait, what? I'm literally just vacuuming
Where
right now.
Where was it air shot?
Vegas.
Vegas. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Wow. 2 weeks and then boom, gone.
Yeah. But so I had to tell my job, like, hey, I'm going to be gone anywhere from a week to a month. I don't know.
And they're like, cool. Like,
so supportive.
Like snorkeling.
They were like, heck yeah. Like, maybe people will Google you and then they'll know about our company. It was
They're
startup.
They're not wrong.
No.
I love how young people think because
it's so sweet.
You might not be able to get out your standard job to go do that. They'd be like, really? A show? Sure.
Yeah. Right. My old job, I think I would have had to at least file for like FMLA or some drama with that. Right. It would have been much harder.
So. Yeah, you get out there, and I am only assuming that as soon as you're there, you're, like, intimidated immediately just because of the situation itself.
Well, it gets real. Like, I walk in the hotel room, and basically the first 4 days we're there, we're just quarantining. For 4 days, do not leave this hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Well, 4 days is not horrible. But it is. I'm sorry.
But
in a hotel,
it's weird. Well, when you're overlooking the pool and you're in Vegas and you know there's 14 people in your hallway you haven't met that you're about to be competing with,
they're like,
just start spinning. You're trying to like figure out who could possibly be the other contestants by like glancing at name tags on doorways if you're allowed to leave for any reason. It's just craziness.
Well, you get pretty bored. Did you have access to internet and stuff like that?
Yes.
Rules. Can't be talking
big
about.
Big rules.
Right. You're like secretly slipping
I just out. Made sure people knew I wasn't at rehab or like, you know, dead with COVID like because I couldn't just be gone for a month.
Right, right. Just disappears.
Yeah.
So can you drink?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could.
I could survive.
It's just so expensive too in Vegas. Room service alcohol.
But don't you get like a stipend? You're like, where did it go?
It's $40 a day.
Oh, so that's like three beers or something? Or
Maybe. Yeah. And then you're not eating. So you like pick and choose wisely.
Yeah, beer.
Yeah. I mean, there was one day that it was just two old fashions and I was done.
Yeah.
I was like, that's it for me.
Yeah. But quarantining in general is not very fun.
Yeah. And then we kind of started like going and doing little assessments.
Mm.
And there was 18 of us, not 15.
Oh, did you get there? They're like cropping, cutting
some people. Basically, they were like, somebody will get COVID or break the rules. Somebody will leave the hotel. Someone will get COVID. And then no one did. So we were like, what's happening? Turns out those little like, you know, we're just like showing you this different stuff. These little plating scenarios they were watching.
Oh, say they were moles.
I think so. Uh-huh. No. That was how they weeded out a couple people. was they were checking personalities. They were checking how you interacted with other people, which we were very limited allowed to do.
Wow. So even after the show, you guys weren't talking and going out to eat and stuff?
No. If you're not on set, you're in your hotel room. We didn't even have keys to our room.
See, that's the thing I've heard about these things.
Yeah.
Like, it's very locked down, and I guess it's a great opportunity.
It was kind of like, you're so tired. You need to, like, we were on set 14 hours a day.
That's a long time.
But, like, we were dying to interact with each other.
Yeah.
And we would, on set, we were on what they would call on ice, where you're not allowed to talk and you have a microphone at all times. So we would just sit in a room, like a dark room, one lamp.
What?
And just stare at each other.
Oh, my God.
And it was like we learned to communicate with our eyes so hard on how we felt like we did.
Oh, my God.
It was so, the bonds that were formed with like 10 words a day were insane.
Yes, and I've noticed through your social media, mm-hmm. you've kept up with a couple people. So yeah. are you have more people here, or where is everybody?
Everyone's spread out. There's two other contestants in Texas.
In Texas, and that's who?
That's Angie is in Lubbock over in West Texas, and then Mariah's up in Houston.
Okay.
John, some of the people I'm really close with, John is in Alabama.
But how are you spending so much time with him?
We fly.
Oh, okay.
We're clingy.
Okay, good.
I'm going next month to do a pop-up with him and Al. We're doing a two-night pop-up in Alabama.
Pop-up, and what's in that involved with this pop-up?
So basically, we're going to sell tickets and do an 8-course tasting. That's... And people can buy tickets and come do that, which is what we did in Lubbock with Angie. The three of us did that.
Yeah.
For a two-night event, and it was a blast.
See the opportunities.
So fun.
Right, and then monetizing. I think that you should. You are familiar with staging, yes?
Yeah.
You should.
I should.
I think you'd have a lot of fun.
I think it'd be good for me. I think it would push me and help me grow.
I think it would. I mean, even like chefs who are, you know, well established, will go stage somewhere that they like.
I think it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that somebody would like let me do that.
They won't all let you do it.
Yeah.
You know, they would definitely. You know, they wouldn't just be like, if you're super green, hop on the line at Uchi.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That would be amazing, though.
But, I mean, you could potentially do it. I mean, that would be, not here throwing out your suggestions for you.
No.
Like,
I will always take
have
advice.
Have you thought that?
Yeah, it's absolutely, because a couple people on the show had done it. Like, some people had fought so hard to be there. That's why I knew I was so lucky and blessed. I was like, y'all, Sonic didn't work out. That's why I'm here. Like, I felt terrible about it a little bit because some people had fought so hard to be there and had done that for a year of their life, scraping by on ramen every 2 days.
Yeah, like, that's another reason why it's hard to stage.
Yeah, well, I do have a full-time job, so I'd have to work, you know, I would be lucky in that way that I could maybe...
sneak in some time.
I have found there's more hours in the day if you just sleep less.
Yeah, I mean, you said you woke up at
4:45 this morning to go work out.
And what's the workout routine?
Well, so normally I'm just like a YMCA girl. Like, I just love going to the Y, but
so
I tried.
And stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried Orange Theory for the first time this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Whooped me. I have always been like real dismissive of that format.
Now, why?
You know, I think because I used to like, one of my good buddies is like this hardcore former Marine, and we used to just like throw heavy weight out in these shipping containers outside his business, like in Hudson Bend. And I was just used to like bleeding and rust and like deadlifting twice my body weight. And, you know, I just was a little bit of a snob. I was like, oh, you do little stations?
Yeah.
And you get on the treadmill, and I was being a brat.
So
and it humbled
Orange
me.
Theory does have a treadmill, okay.
Yeah, they have it's weights, treadmill, and rowing machines for an hour. I mean, I burned over 700 calories this morning.
Yeah, that's great.
It was intense.
I know the rower. And then they have it's like a water rower.
Yeah.
Which is different than a concept.
It further mimics like actual rowing in water.
Yeah. Have you rowed prior to that?
No.
So that was your first row? Because there's like I have a rower downstairs.
They're great.
They are
My
great.
Legs didn't work when I stood up.
Yeah, but 700 calories in an hour?
Yeah.
That's great.
It was phenomenal. I was like, this is great. So I signed up because
so
I'm a
sucker. So you go back. Yeah, for sure. Especially if it's close to the house.
Yeah, and
it's
I figured
all about
out
accessibility.
Like, you know, I drove to Dripping Springs this morning to do it with a friend.
Okay.
So that was part of the craziness of getting up early. But there is one right by me. And so I figure if I like stick with my YMCA a few times a week, do that a few times a week.
Yeah,
I'll get where I want to be.
I like where you're thinking. I'm constantly on this like balance of how I get in my workouts. I like to run.
Yeah.
I have a rower.
I envy that.
And I just got rid of the curved runner.
Oh.
And I'm getting the Tonal.
What's that?
So it's like a gigantic iPad that goes on the wall.
Oh my God, I've seen this. Wait, no.
Yeah.
And it like coaches you, right? You can do guided stuff.
But then it's all the weights. Like apparently it's, from what I understand, anything that you can do in a gym, you can do
here.
No,
that is so cool.
Yeah, but it's like 2 months out.
Well, yeah, and also like I remember seeing that a few years ago when it was like in prototype phases mm-hmm. and it was like wildly expensive, but I was like, this is a Jetsons workout.
Yeah, it was still pretty expensive.
But I really think that that's the kind of thing that if you're adding years to your life and quality to the current year.
1,000,000%.
How's that not working? We blow money on stupid stuff. I said this morning, I was like, yeah, it's extra money a month, but I'll just not order Uber Eats a few times.
Right. And then also like supplements or things like that. Oh, like God. When they cost money, I'm like, well, it's like better to be.
I got this Aura ring because I was convinced I have to have it. I went to this like biohacking thing and everyone had it. And I was like, well, I have to have it.
This was a assignment from your job, right?
Well, actually, no. Oddly enough, my mentor from the show, Naisha Arrington, was in town for this biohacking event and invited me to it.
Biohacking's interesting. Who's that one? Green? Is his name Green?
I'm just getting into it, so I'm very green myself.
Oh, yeah. It's not... Ben Greenfield.
Yes.
Like, he's like, okay. He's like mm-hmm. the biohack guy.
Yeah, he's like Padre biohacking or whatever.
He's insane. Like, I mean,
it's all pretty intense. Like,
in a good way.
But. It's all very intense. But she just was like, hey, will you help me come cook at this thing? And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought you hated me. I really, really did.
Really?
Oh, I did. I thought she hated me.
Why did you think that? Because she's hard on
you? I got in trouble for, like, laughing. It was just, like, school. Like, it's the same stuff I always got in trouble for. Talking, laughing, looking like it was. But that's what I do when I get nervous.
Yeah. That's your tick, to laugh.
If I break a bone, I'm laughing.
Right.
Anything uncomfortable, giggles.
Right. That explains this whole podcast. Yeah. <isn't it? laughs>
I really do. Just, like, I get. And so I got just... You know, I think she's used to working with, and she has fought so hard to be where she is.
Oh, like more, like laser-focused
folks. Here's this girl who just saunters in and, like, is mm-hmm. giggling, and I'm like, no, I promise I am dying on the inside.
And then it turns out that's all in your thoughts.
It was. She's like, I love you. I think you have an amazing energy. I think we're just alike. And it turned out we had everything in common.
Yeah.
And there I am, like, slumber party vibes with Naisha, making goat skin drums and, like, red light therapy, and I was just... What is life?
Yeah.
Like, what is life?
That's pretty cool.
It was amazing.
That's fun. So now you're getting into this biohacking thing.
So now I'm like, maybe I should at least pay attention to my biometrics. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't sleep 4 hours a night.
It's super important to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, it's like very, very overlooked.
Underestimated. I'm real bad about it.
Just like how death is overlooked. Like, if we all thought about death on a regular basis, we'd act different.
Well, make something your job for a week. That's what I tell people. Make something your... And just think about it that way. You don't have to literally do it.
Yeah.
But really think about your spending habits or your sleep.
For one whole week?
Though. One whole week. Really, really focus your energy and attention to it. And it's probably going to be really uncomfortable what you find.
Yeah.
On most arenas in life.
I mean, you're probably right, because there's so many things happening on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and you can't be perfect.
Well, we're never going to be perfect, but like we are like bombarded. Like you have the TV, you have your phone.
So many options.
You're rolling down the street. I don't know. You have everything, the radio, the podcast.
And it's hard in this day, and you'll get this, in this day and time for so many people, social media is part of our jobs.
Yeah.
Having a presence.
Yeah.
Producing content, putting it out. So you have this weird new relationship with technology.
Yeah.
That you don't, there used to be like this like anti-technology supremacy. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't look at my phone.
Right.
I'm not one of these phone people.
Right.
But it's like, man, when you're getting paid to have a certain number of followers or to have a certain number of engagement, you're kind of like, sorry, my soul's long gone. And now this is surgically attached to my hand.
Well, I'm optimistic that people who are not, or who are maybe addicted to their phones and they're not making mm-hmm. money using it, like that this is so new.
Yeah.
Like it still is, we're on the onset of this that like maybe 5-10 years, I don't know the timeline, but eventually.
The pendulum swings.
Right. Well, like people will balance out and be like, man, do you remember in the.
Well, and tech will change, right?
It will change.
Like, we'll have wearables.
Well, totally.
You know,
they already do. I mean, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nonstop. So, but I also, what do you think if you didn't make money like that, would mm-hmm. you be on social? Because I think it's really romantic when I talk to you.
No, I can fully admit that I am like it for years before any of this. I had previously when I was married, I had an Instagram account that was much bigger.
Okay.
And it was a point of contention. So I deleted it.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't getting paid. I wasn't, right. That was just pure hedonistic. Like, I have been a loud attention seeking person my whole life. And I can admit that.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, no, I'm better than that. Like,
well, it's
no,
healthy to be able to admit it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's when I talk to friends who like are not on social media at all, I'm like, number one, I don't know how.
What do you do all day?
Right. And
what do you do when you feel sad?
But then number two, I'm like, it's kind of cool. Like,
oh.
Because all the kind of, like, it's some, a lot of shit we're looking at is garbage.
Well, it's just very mentally damaging, and it's a slow leak. It happens, it's almost like illness, where it happens so slowly that you don't notice you're feeling badly.
Yeah.
I did choose to take the month off from social media when I was at the show.
Yeah.
They told us you can be on it. Plenty of people were still doing live streams from their hotel and just blocking where they were.
Oh, wow.
I chose to do that because I wanted to keep my head like where it belonged.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, so and
that would be like a time where like your ego could start to inflate and you could start like
my imposter syndrome was raging.
Yeah.
I was like almost not wanting to tell people I had the audacity to do it. I was having the opposite effect.
Yeah.
And I still do. Like, my ego is more in check than it ever was because I'm fully aware of how many stars had to align and how many gifts I was given.
Yeah.
And what blessings it was. And imposter syndrome is so real for me.
Sure.
And then every once in a while, I do have a little, it's usually on my own though. Like, I made dinner the other night and was just so proud of it that I was like, hell yeah, girl, you, but like, you're a chef. Like, I was just hyping myself by myself in my house.
That's
like,
okay though.
So I have those moments, but it's more when like anyone else tries to give me any sort of acknowledgement or accolade that I'm like, no. Like,
right.
I'm just very lucky.
Yeah. It's, you should also learn to accept that and you
it's
know,
a challenge I've given my learning to say thank you.
Yeah. I think, well, for me, like, that would be, like, the me repeatedly being like, oh, no, I'm not anything. Don't worry.
But you are. I was going to tell you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Everyone knows you. Everyone knows you.
I've gotten around a little bit.
Oh, my God. It's like I hear your name everywhere now. And I was at a chili cook-off this weekend.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think your name was the most used phrase that day.
No, that's
I was
funny.
Like, does everyone know this guy? This is incredible.
That's funny. I really wish I was there. Didn't you win with Vish? Okay.
Yeah, we got People's Choice and first place.
That's like what I was like, well, what other categories do you want to win?
Yeah,
like,
no, that was that's it. It was we were both very humbled and happy.
Yeah. So there was no beans in that chili, was there?
Hell no. But it also wasn't a Texas chili. We did Middle Eastern fusion flavors like we do.
All right.
Garam masala.
Yeah, yeah.
Over coconut steamed rice. And it was very, very different. And I told him, because he was feeling the pressure to do the Texas chili. And I was like, listen, we're already odd in this scenario. You and I are just like little odd ducks anyway. If we're going to go down, let's go down as ourselves.
Yeah.
Like swinging. Let's do it our way with the kind of Asian fusion flavors.
And look at that.
And it was great.
Yeah.
I was really proud of it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'll have to go. I mean, I love making chili. It's so much fun.
It's so fun to do it differently. And I had done a chili competition years ago when I worked at the Statesman. And my partner was, I mean, everyone's like, you're a cheater. Because my partner was Addie Broyles, who was the food columnist forever. But we did a sweet potato garam masala chili. I think I'm like airing all my secrets right now. This will win every time. I'm just telling you, put garam masala in your chili. People go nuts.
That's it?
That's the secret sauce, but it's a secret powder. Garam masala is
maybe
just
I'll
so
edit
tasty.
It out.
Do you use it?
I mean, I've used it. But
I love it.
Not in my chili.
It goes there.
Okay.
It really does.
Yeah, nice. Maybe I'll edit that like word out and no one will know.
Yeah, just like the secret powder. Just a voiceover of me going, secret powder.
Secret powder. That will be the sound clip. I'll make it happen.
But it's especially good with like venison, which, you know, being in Texas, we have a lot of hunters.
Mm-hmm.
It downplays the parts we don't love of venison and upplays the good parts. It's just like this earthy, warm. It's great.
Yeah, interesting.
It's like a little wonder powder.
Nice. Wonder powder.
Wonder powder.
That's what we'll call it, right?
I'm going to put out my own line of garam masala called Wonder Powder.
Or you just take your favorite brand and at your next chili cook-off,
white label,
tape it up and write Wonder Powder. Right?
I have a friend named Bearcat, and his answer to everything is, you'll be wondering.
You'll be wondering.
You ask that man anything, you'll be wondering.
I love the name, Bearcat.
Oh, he's a character.
Bearcat.
That's from my musician interviewing days is how I met him. He was like, the royal sidekick to a musician I interviewed, and now he's a musician, but oh, he lives up to the name. He's something.
Bearcat.
Look him up on Instagram sometime. He's a ham. I want a name
like Bearcat.
Oh, he earned it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, actually, speaking of the musician stuff,
yeah.
When I was doing this, mm-hmm. feel like I've met tons of people.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to be a part of. Like, how many, did you make connections through there?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure they still are.
I babysit for Bart Crowe. Okay. I don't know if you know who Bart Crowe is. He's a great in the Texas country scene.
Okay.
One of the best. I was a fan of his in high school.
So you've made the connection.
So like, I babysit his kids now.
How old are the kids? Do they know who their daddy is?
They so know. They're 11 and then twin 7-year-olds and a 1-year-old.
Wow.
All boys.
That's
And because it's the Crow family, they're a wild flock. That's what we call them, the wild flock.
The wild flock. Isn't that wild murder?
They also call them a murder of crows. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, I've become friends with Paul Coffin, with Lance Lipinski's a local that's great. Leopold and his fiction, Daniel James, great friend. I'm a people collector. Yeah. Like, if I meet you, you're going to have to really wrong me for me not to be a stage 5 clinger. Like, I love people. People are the greatest capital. I love hence introducing. Hence Alabama
next month, right?
Hence Alabama next month.
Right.
Because I'm like, no, I'm close with everyone from the show, but there's a little group of like 4 of us that are super, super tight.
Yeah.
And totally clingers for each other.
So then you're going to open a taco shop or something.
So, I never had designs on anything, but like, we're all so different that we're trying to figure out maybe like, we kind of joked about next level box.
Next level box.
Because that's just obnoxious and funny. But like, you know,
but what's the concept?
The concept would be like, I make a tequila chimichurri that people love.
Okay.
John does incredible seasonal jams.
Okay.
Piet has her.
Oh, so you sell the box.
Mm-hmm. Indigenous Wajapi sauce. And then A does stir fry sauce. And so you would basically get all 4 of them in this situation. So we're, you know, we play with ideas and that's things
not,
like
that's
that.
That's not that bad. But would they allow the next level? Is that like?
That's what we got to look into. It's like, is next level chef the copyright? Or is like anything next level? I don't know. We got to see.
Well, that's like,
they'll probably just take a cut of it, which is fine.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's clout tax.
Right.
Like, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't have any of this.
Well, if you've fallen into a fortunate situation, you know.
Like, who am I to be like, no, bite the hand that feeds you, literally.
Yeah. So you are from, was Vish saying like a sous chef to Vish right now? So you're
basically,
saying mentor.
Yeah.
Mentor.
Yeah. I'm basically his sous chef. He did talk to me about wanting to kind of make it to where I'm additionally booking gigs through my avenues. I think he's the best. Like, he wants to use my recipes as well.
Okay.
Because I have a very different
thing about doing it yourself.
You know, I'm such a pack animal. Yeah. I've never had the desire to do anything on my own. I love sharing with somebody.
But
financially speaking, it's of course more beneficial to do things on your own.
It's more beneficial, but like the pack is like the people you're cooking for, right? I guess you'd be the leader
of the
pack.
I am starting to book my own solo gigs.
Okay.
It's a confidence thing. It's my imposter syndrome. Like, yeah. I know I can do it.
I think, though, like, I work really close with a couple private chefs in mm-hmm. Gather and Forge.
Yeah.
And they are, I mean, they're going to some pretty, you know, high class places, and they all get butterflies in their stomach all the time.
I hope I always do. Yeah. I hope I never feel entitled. I hope I never feel like I made it, because that's where complacency sets in and creativity stops.
Yeah. I think you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't think you'd get to that point. Because like learning with Vish, like you're always, even if you're teaching someone at some point, you're still learning.
Well, and there's so much joy in that also. Yeah. I love teaching people to cook. When somebody asks me, hey, I can't figure out fried chicken, will you help me? I love that.
That's a fun one too.
Yeah, I love that. I love passing that down because someone taught me.
Have you heard the expression, it tastes like chicken? I want to tell you about the highest rated chicken farm in the South. Greener Pastures Chicken raises organic, pasture-raised birds, and Elgin that the top chefs in Central Texas have been putting on their customers' plates like it's nobody's business. They're USDA-certified organic, non-GMO project verified, real organic project certified, certified humane, and Go Texan. They're in the final stages of becoming the first poultry farm nationwide to obtain regenerative organic certified status. You heard that right. They're humane, they're sustainable farmers, and they are the chicken of choice for the top chefs in Central Texas. For those of you who love to cook at home, you can pick up locally Greener Pastures chicken at People's RX and Daya's Market, or you can have it shipped to your home courtesy of Farmhouse Delivery. It doesn't just taste like chicken.
Yeah, I love that. I love passing that down because someone taught me.
Right.
You know, it's
Speaking of, I have to ask about your roots. Yeah. Like your parents were, mm-hmm. were they cooking?
My mom, my dad left when I was too little to really remember. My okay. mom somehow, his being loss. The Wonder Woman that she is, worked two jobs and cooked almost every day.
Yeah.
And you know, I look at it now and I'm like, how did she do that?
No social media.
That's no social media. She was not on Facebook.
No, it's like, I know what you mean. Not downplaying what she yeah. did, but it's like.
It's true. Our parents, world is different.
Right. It's like, it seemed like time actually ticked slower.
It did.
It was like, think about like late 80s, 90s, like totally different.
Less distractions, less alleged obligations.
I feel like this would be, like, I don't care that I'm excluding a bunch of like kids who are younger by saying this, but like our generation, mm-hmm. well, you're a little younger than
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, I just turned 40.
Just so, barely then.
Just barely. But yeah. like the whole idea, it's just amazing. And I don't think every generation thinks this way. We grew up playing in the dirt, you know, making a landline phone call.
We experienced the internet happen.
And then we experienced the internet. But like we had our youth, we were like, hey, I'm on my way over. And you're like throwing rocks at the window.
When your parents didn't know where you were.
There's no Life 360 checking on your kid.
No, there was no like accountability in that way. And it was kind of beautiful.
It's the most romantic thing in my memories is that period. But then we got the internet.
Which also made the world more accessible and more dangerous at the same time.
Yeah, because it brought out a bunch of creeps.
Because, oh my God, it did. Right. But I look at my nephew all the time. I have these nephews that I'm thoroughly obsessed with. And the 11-year-old has a phone. I'm like, do you have any idea how amazing that is? I'm like, you can't because you didn't experience the progression.
Right.
You never had a Nokia. I know. You never had a car phone. And right. you never had a pager. You can't appreciate.
Yeah.
The evolution of what's in your hand right now.
And it's so amazing. Like, I love having a phone or a whatever.
Yeah.
At any second we Google whatever. It's very cool.
The information accessibility is, especially when you're cooking, I love that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or if I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, what the hell kind of radish is that? And I can Google it real quick.
Right. So in that respect, I think some, like, kids using technology mm-hmm. will be further along than us.
Absolutely.
But I still like being like a caveman running around on a bike, going to the park.
Do kids even bleed anymore? You know what I mean? Like, do kids get hurt? I don't think they do.
It's crazy. And, you know, I live in this area here and there's a park nearby.
Yeah, I saw
my daughter's
that.
Only 8 and like the idea of her going there alone.
Terrifies you.
It's like, no, we don't do that.
It horrifies me even. I was at the park with my nephews. I watch them frequently, so that my sister can actually like go out of town with her husband and have a life.
Yeah.
And
what is that? A life? Go into that.
I mean, she's so lucky to have me. I'm just saying. But you know, we went to the park, and the 11-year-old's way bigger than me, for the record.
Really?
He's got 5 inches and like 40 pounds on me.
Damn.
Huge kids.
A big boy.
Yeah, I'm the black sheep of the family. My sister's like 5'10".
Okay.
Her husband's 6'4". Like, these kids are huge. So he looks 15. Yeah. I mean, from a distance, the kid looks 15.
I let him go to the park.
So I was stayed with the little one, Declan, and Finn was like, I'm going to run home. And he had his phone, but I was still nervous the whole time.
Of course.
And I'm like, who's going to try to take that kid? No one's going to try to take that kid.
But it is.
That's a redheaded, gigantic child. No one's taking him. Thank God.
Yeah, but they're rare, redheaded.
Right? Like, I don't know what they go for these days, but probably a pretty penny.
Right. No, but it is. It's a weird world.
Yeah, it is.
But you mentioned, like, you can Google, like, a recipe.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest, right?
I love that. Well, it's just, it's a great way to expose also to, like, different cultures. It used to be you had to buy 8 million cookbooks to even get a sense of other cultures, foods, flavors, spices. And now you can just kind of be like, what do people eat in Kuala Lumpur? What's the national dish? What do people like?
And then try and cook it because you can pull up the ingredients.
The Google Trends were so beautiful on the show when Piet did her wajapi sauce.
Okay.
Google had this mass influx across the country of people Googling what was almost a completely gone recipe. Such a beautiful sauce that was purely of her indigenous tribe's creation.
That's crazy.
And that's her mission, right? Is to like keep her food as part of the culture, because we all know what Mexican food is. We all know what Chinese food is.
We do.
No one knows what Native Americans eat. They think corn.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to it. And it was beautiful to, because I'm a nerd, to search the Google Analytics Trends. Oh, I was going to
ask how you found that.
Google Analytics Trends. Okay. I was like, I wonder if people are searching. And they were. It was this huge influx.
Wow.
And I was like, man, that whole sauce, she just saved that.
Yeah.
And thank God for the internet.
Yeah, that's, yeah, right?
Because people would have been like, where do I get a book with this recipe? Like, they wouldn't have done it.
You know, that's something I've never really thought about like food traditions that die off, you know, crops or things like, just like animal species slowly die away.
And it's so sad.
That's crazy.
But food is such a cornerstone of culture. Like when you say Mexican culture, there's a lot of, you might think of Dia de los Muertos, you might think of fiesta, but I promise you're thinking of food too.
Oh yeah.
Every time, and drinks.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you think Mexican cuisine, you think taco.
Right.
Immediately.
Immediately. Right. But when someone says Native Americans, they're like, oh, bison and corn. You just listed two ingredients.
Right.
That's not the cuisine. That's not the culture.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know nothing about Native American cuisine.
I'm learning because I also had this beautiful opportunity to meet people so different than me from different parts of the world, not just the country, but I didn't know anything about Trinidadian food or food from Laos. I didn't know any of that. And now it's like so interesting to me.
Well, it's interesting. And what's cool, I mean, I would think it also plays this as a benefit, is you learn this stuff and it's a really easy way to make your own things creative.
And I always ask like permission. I'm like, is this okay? Like Vesh and I did.
That's smart, I think.
We used Piet's wajapi sauce and did a dessert caviar.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, cool. Now not only is this still alive and kicking, it's getting new iterations.
Yeah.
And I love fusion.
Yeah.
Taking something familiar, whether it's familiar to me or you or whoever, but something familiar and then doing something a little different.
Yeah.
Fusion is my favorite. So yeah, like getting exposed to these recipes and these cultures is so exciting for me. It's like finding the whole extra playground in the neighborhood when you're a kid.
It's cool. And then like some of those foods never would have had that kind of spin without like another outside influence.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
And it excites me so much.
Good, good. We have a subject? No, it's not a subject.
A topic?
No, it's not a topic. We have...
What do we have? Oh, a brand new car.
I don't know what the hell I call these things. It's like completely... Okay, whatever it is.
But we've got a thing.
Called potty talk. Okay. So these are your...
a segment.
Segment.
There it is.
The word.
I know what's like, happening now.
Right, right. Brain. Yeah, that was completely out of my mind. So we have a segment on this podcast called Potty Talk. Sponsored by Buc-ee's. They don't know it. But
I love their gummy bears, for the record.
There we go. So yeah, they're everything. I mean, the jerky's great. When I go, I can't not get the licorice.
Oh, you're rare.
Why?
I always wonder who's buying that.
Oh, it's so good.
Like nobody likes licorice.
Oh, it's so good. You know why? Because my grandfather, his knives are sitting right there. Yeah, he had on top of his refrigerator, like they were the like Twizzlers.
Forbidden.
No, licorice. But it'd be like, you're going home, you're on your way home, here's a Twizzler for the roll.
Oh, that's sweet.
And like, yeah, those were.
Yeah, so that's nostalgic for you.
It is, but like I'll eat the whole pack in one sitting.
Fascinating. I'm talking about black licorice. Or like the red Twizzler type. Red, okay, I can forgive that.
Yeah, and then
I can
like,
get on board.
They got blue at Sprouts and stuff.
What?
It's ridiculous.
I had no idea there was this whole licorice underworld going on.
Oh, when you like licorice. I mean, like, it's great. It's a good, you know, okay, so either way.
Okay, we have a segment.
We might add to that, what's your favorite thing from Buc-ee's? Because
You know what you should. That's an important topic that everyone has an opinion on.
Gummies are great. The cashew, everything bagel seasoning, cashews are ridiculous.
Everything bagel, anything for me.
Just take it out of the shaker, right? So, favorite bathrooms that you've been in, I usually keep it to Austin.
Okay, that's fine. I can do this.
But it doesn't have to be Austin. It could have been the hotel at the...
Yeah, no. I can actually, well, I do love how hotels have signature scents. I think that's really cool. But
where did you think this was going?
I don't know. I'm just ready for anything. Okay. I think it's a really fun trend and like kind of Scandi. Uh-huh. Places like Eberle and Easy Tiger have the co-ed bathrooms.
Yeah.
And I just love the adrenaline rush I get every time of being startled. I turn the corner, I'm like, but I also am like, the audacity for these people, both these restaurants.
Right.
The doors go all the way to the floor.
So you like that?
I just think it's lending itself to shenanigans, and I admire the audacity.
I never thought about
that. They're roomy. They're big stalls, doors to the floor, co-ed bathrooms. I'm like, what are y'all playing at?
I mean, I think that more power to them.
I love it. And they also serve copious amounts of alcohol. I'm like, I'm on to you guys, and I love it. Like, do your thing.
Okay. So that was Eberle and Easy Tiger. So Easy Tiger South?
On South Lamar.
Okay. That's the one. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've never been in the bathroom there. Well, see, this is why this segment.
You got to ask. You always got to know where the best bathrooms are.
Got it. Got to know that. Yeah. Okay. So, and Eberle, just as a side, if you order pizza at Eberle.
Oh my God, their food's so good.
Have you had the pizza?
Yes.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Yes. I had it at a happy hour one time.
That's what unexpected. You do it. Unexpected. You don't order pizza at Eberle. You order something fancy.
But this is why I tell people, like, do that. I also live and die, and I shouldn't, but I love not the reviews on Yelp, but the photos.
Oh, okay.
I always look at all the photos because I'm like, that looks good and it's probably under-celebrated.
Yeah.
Never read the review.
Never read the review, mm-mm. But it's true always that the photos, because that's how the photos, yeah.
Because that's the truth of the happen. There's no bias. Yeah. There's no, you know, you can't handle heat or you're a freaking vegan or whatever. That's what the food looks like. And I can be like, damn, looks like people are sleeping on that.
Yeah. So you talked about like comments and like not reading things. They coached you on that. And
they didn't tell me not to read it. They just told me not to fall apart.
Oh, okay.
I read it. I read every single one. Oh, I replied to most too.
Did you? So because on our last podcast, we had Jason from Poke Poke, and he was...
I love Poke Poke.
Yeah, I love it
too. Side note.
He was, and it was a blast, but he went through an entire year of when someone would comment on his...
Oh, hon.
That he would be like, oh, yeah?
I've left them the Yelp review. That's actually one of the ones I've left. It was good, though.
It is so good.
Other than that's where my ex-husband and I used to fight for some reason.
In comments?
We got, at Poke Poke.
Oh, at Poke Poke.
For some reason, we got in a fight every time we went there.
Really?
Yes.
That was the place. I wonder why.
It almost ruined it for me. I have no idea.
Oh, but it's
just
so
a
good.
Random funny thing. I think I even left that in my Yelp review. Like, I love this place, other than for some reason, my husband and I fight here.
Who knows? I mean, like, now it's your ex-husband, so
maybe it's funny. Yeah. Now it's funny, and I order it. I'm just like, oh, no one's around to fight with. Guess I'll just enjoy my Poke.
Such a good spot. But you fell into that trap of responding to people?
I did, and here's why. I think for me, I was getting a lot of people telling me to go kill myself. And working in the death business.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
Talking to people who have lost someone to suicide.
Oh, yes.
It's so hard to like be able to kind of know what that means to somebody, and that every life is precious. And so I would respond to people, and I would just be like, I'm so sorry about whatever you're going through that made you carry so much anger that you had to say that to a stranger. I hope it gets better. And 9 times out of 10, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't think you'd reply. I'm really going through this. One guy told me his fiance was about to leave him because he's so angry.
Yeah, I mean.
But like one woman, it'll stick with me. I didn't reply. The one I did not reply to and immediately blocked was like, she went into great detail about how I should exit the earth. It disgusted her that I was allowed on TV and that her kids saw it. And I was kind of like, why were you watching Gordon Ramsay for wholesome family entertainment?
Right.
First of all. But like, she went to such like angry, vehement hate. And of course, I like looked up who she was.
Yeah.
And it was like, she was like a tatted up mom who looked cool, looked like somebody I'd be friends with.
Yeah.
And I had all this stuff about like kindness matters. And I was just like, I can't with you.
All right.
I can't even with you.
The hypocrisy.
Yeah. But there was some really nasty stuff from men too that was just really cruel and ugly. But a lot of times it turned out that people were just going through some shit or had tried out for the show and were angry they didn't make it.
I guess your profession, you know, with those
made me like, uniquely ready.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm ready for it. Yeah. That's
like, tell me what are you going through? What are you going through?
Right. Right. You're like, turn into like a side therapist job.
Yeah, I did a little bit because I was just like, I also wanted people to realize that, like, first of all, it would never occur to me to watch a TV show and like reach out to somebody and say something mean. Would never even occur to me.
It's just such a huge world that there's so many types of people that there's people who do that shit.
And there's plenty of nice stuff too. Like, don't get me wrong, plenty of nice stuff too. Yeah. But the second thing is, I think people need to realize whether you interact with somebody at the grocery store, on social media, they're on TV, at the core of it, they're all people. Mm-hmm. And my sister actually used to, bless her heart, used to block her calendar to fight with people on Facebook when I was on that show. She would block her work calendar for an hour a day to be like, hi, this person that you're saying this about, it's my little sister. Okay. I've watched her grow up. She is the aunt to my children. She is deeply loved. Like,
did
she
that work for her?
No. No. And actually, I will find...
Good. She's protecting
and you. My brother. They both, bless them, both did it. Right. But it wasn't just for me. They were doing it for the other people on the show, too.
But I caught them. And did you say there will nothing good will come of this?
It may. I said, if this is genuinely making you feel better,
right?
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's bringing you any pain, sadness, anxiety, quit looking at it.
Yeah.
But my sister and her and my brother are both like excessively intelligent, like witty people. And I think they really got some sort of weird joy out of it. But I'm the baby of the family.
Right.
You know, yeah. So she was just like, I think you need to realize these are people. Mm-hmm. And it really put it into perspective for me, like all, even celebrities that we give such a hard time, they have families.
I mean, Gordon Ramsay. Everybody knows who Gordon Ramsay is, especially if they're listening to this.
Yeah.
If you don't, I mean, like, but he's a person.
He has children. He has a really cute little bitty son.
I think
his son's like two.
His daughter, is she two? He's two?
Yeah.
And then his daughter, like, had caught, somebody had Tilly. Said something nasty to mm-hmm. her. But then you see him react to that, and he's just a father.
He's all of a sudden, he's not Gordon Ramsay, celebrity chef. He's a dad.
Right.
And that's the thing that people need to remember. Just about everybody, not even celebrities, whatever. Just when you're out in the world being ugly to somebody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a far reach here.
I know.
But it's good to put it out there.
But I do kind of feel like I made a difference with a lot of people I talked to.
That's good, though. That's good.
If one person, because I do believe in the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Because my thing was always, I had to go through psych evaluation to be on that show.
Right.
Other people do not go through a psych evaluation just to exist. And how are you going to feel if the next person you so confidently tell to go kill themselves does?
I mean, that's so awful to even think about. But it's like, yeah, it's a sick world. And you're right. I think the majority of the time people are saying something nasty.
They're letting like something out.
Right. But in such a nasty way.
Yeah. And you just don't know when it's going to be the final straw for somebody. And life is so precious. And everybody's so precious. And even those people, you know, who seem so angry and bitter, like, they are really important to other people in their life, even if they don't know it.
So with the are you like into like suicide prevention? I mean, obviously
it
would be.
I can't help it at this point. And I do like, so I work, I just did volunteer training last night for Safe Austin.
Okay.
Which they do, you know, they help women and children, victims of abuse.
Yes.
I was the victim of assault a few years ago.
I'm sorry to hear
Thank
that.
You. Yeah. Not to make things awkward for people, but I just feel like talking about things candidly is what makes them get better.
Yeah.
So I'm very big on, you know, suicide prevention. It's a very common time that happens is after assault because women feel like they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
There's not really justice to be had in that scenario and people don't process it well. So I felt like I was about a year and a half out now and I felt like I was ready to give back in that scenario because they did so much for me when it happened to me. But I can't help but feel like...
That happened a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's recent.
Halloween of 2020.
Jeez.
Yeah. I know. I'd 10 stars recommend it, just for the record.
Yeah.
Not recommend that scenario. But, you know, it is, again, it was just one of those things that made me feel lucky, though.
Yeah.
Because I was immediately surrounded with so much love and support.
Yeah.
And I do believe bad things don't happen to you. Opportunities to feel loved do.
Sure.
Some of the worst times in my life have been the most loved I felt.
Yeah.
And I think between that scenario, which is why I got this job, I felt like I needed to make a positive difference in the world.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, a victim of violence, helping people who are grieving. It's kind of, you know, one of those things full circle. But yeah, if I always tell people, I don't care if you're a complete stranger. Sometimes it's easier to open up to a stranger.
Yeah.
I check every DM.
Do you?
And everyone.
Well, you're unique, I think, in that.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe people do. Maybe
Naisha does it. I was shocked to find out.
Yeah.
My mentor, Chef Arrington, She reads every single one.
So that's where you have to, like, calloused can be, doesn't have to be a negative word, but like, because I have calloused on my finger because I have plaque scar. It's good. Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Protects you.
Right. So that's where, because you're definitely going to open up. I mean, men are pigs, right?
Oh, God. The creative ways people think I got on that TV show. I'm like, don't flatter me. I'm not.
Right.
I love that you. I love that you think that got me on the show.
Well, I brought up, so suicide prevention is obviously a important subject, but I think the more I bring it up on here, the better we'll have. I want to make this happen eventually where we, and I talked to Randy Hester recently from Ciel Butat. Like, it's like a winery.
Yeah.
Well, wine tasting room. Great wines right here.
They're good wines. Are there. Prominently wines. Displayed.
So, but so there's, we get a cutting board with some engravings of Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
Right? With, then you get the charcuterie on it, and we sell it as a one-time thing, and it all goes to suicide prevention.
I could not love that more.
So I'm going to make it happen.
Somebody just posted, God, yesterday, posted Anthony Bourdain's final Instagram post.
Oh, yeah.
And I had never seen it. And it was just about a meal he had in Alsace, but like, it. That's a great thing. People think that, oh, we're all sad because he's a celebrity. No.
Right.
People aren't sad because he's, more people are sad because he's a celebrity. He had, more people knew about him.
Yeah.
But his wife, kids, siblings.
Just awful.
Right. And I just think that I'm such a big hugger and lover of people that even when people are angry, I just want to be like, do you want a hug? Do you just want
a
hug?
That's a good quality to have.
You know, I just, because I think it's always an outcry of pain. Yeah. And there's so much in this world that's hard. It's so much better when we're in it together.
Yeah.
The world, when we start seeing each other as allies and teammates, the whole game changes.
Are you looking for an easier way to enhance your health or make regular meals look and taste gourmet and be connected to the company that grows your food? Well, there's a solution. JCN Farms, your local vertical farm right here in Austin, Texas. As of right now, they grow microgreens, the world's healthiest superfood. They're 40 times more nutritious than the regular sized vegetable, and they create the convenience in eating vegetables, not to mention they will deliver it right to your door. At JCN Farms, the main purpose is to supply sustainable, organic, and fresh foods to the local communities. Follow JCN Farms on Instagram at JCN Farms or look them up online at jcnfarms.com.
It's so much better when we're in it together.
Yeah.
The world, when we start seeing each other as allies and teammates, the whole game changes.
You said it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm putting that on a t-shirt.
I wish you would.
I mean, it's,
then 10% can go to suicide prevention.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to make something like that happen. No, you're absolutely right, though. And I'm optimistic. I am
too.
Even though the state of the world is pure chaos right now,
it's also better than it's ever been. It's not the Crusades.
It's not the. You're
it's
right.
It's not the Holocaust.
That's true.
It's not the Wild West where if you don't like what someone said, you can shoot them in the street. The world's better than it's ever been, realistically.
I do want to have a drink when it was at the Wild West, so just once.
What a thrill,
I want to be able to like warp speed out of there.
Talk about minding your own business on the highest level.
Right.
Like, don't look at anybody. Don't talk to anybody.
Right. You know, just give it a whirl and then like warp speed back into reality.
Westworld. I don't know if you watched that show,
I did until like the third season where it was like a completely different show. And
it kind of jumped the shark. Even for how outlandish it already was.
It was a very, very weird show.
But to your point, like, when people say, could you go anywhere in the world, like, time travel would be so much cooler than...
So where would you go if you could time travel?
That's such a... I really want to see... The 1970s fascinate me. Not a lot good was going on.
I'm thinking pyramids.
Oh, you're going... You want to see how they did it. But that's smart.
But it's,
how did y'all do it?
Aliens. They came down here and built that thing.
I mean, dinosaurs would be... I'm a huge Jurassic Park girl.
So there you go. I think that would probably be the most epic thing ever is to see...
Most brain melt. And how humbling are... This is a tangent I go on, but how humbling are dinosaurs?
Humbling?
I mean, they ran the earth huge, gone.
I know, yeah. Well,
people need to keep themselves...
Oh, how humbling, yeah.
Yeah, like... They ran the earth. That's all there was. And now they're just gone.
Right, right.
And we don't actually super duper know why. We have some theories.
Right.
But like, Everyone just be grateful for every day because, I mean, where are the dinosaurs?
Well, I mean, when they start talking about these nuclear, it's like we don't need anything to fall to the sky or whatever happens.
We'll do it to ourselves.
We'll do it to ourselves. And then, like, fast forward 5,000 years.
People will make movies like, people were weird, huh? Look at this scary movie we made about people.
Right. And then they'll, like, discover, there would be this huge discovery about how there was actually dinosaurs before people.
It's going to really mess people
up. What will those things be? I don't know. They'll probably look like balloons.
I can't even fathom. Our brains are not designed to understand, and I accept that.
Right. No, but the pyramids would also be a tricky time to go to because I think they were built over like 5,000 years or something.
It probably took a minute.
Right. So you show up at like, they're taking a day off. You're like, damn it.
So do you go for the first stone or the last?
That's all I want to see is how they put the a stone. The last stone, like maybe even
that would tell you the
third
most.
To the last.
Yeah, maybe the middle layer.
Middle layer, all that stuff.
Just recommend they add some mascarpone in between just to see.
There you go. I mean, there's Egyptians, but so you would go to the 70s?
I'm pretty fascinated by the 70s.
Are you a dancer?
Yeah.
So that's why.
That is probably why. No, I just think what a fascinating, tumultuous time of change.
Okay.
That's often romanticized. I say the same about the 50s.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all, that was all racism and milkshakes. Like, wow. I don't know why you're romanticizing the 50s. It was terrible. but I think there's something really pivotal that happened and a lot of really pivotal things.
Yeah.
I also just want to see, like, who my mom was when she was graduating high school.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of my mom, and she has, like, really long, straight hair.
They all did. And so I'm did like, mine. Mom? They probably look the same.
Right.
they all look like Cher. But I just think how fascinating, because Cher. There was, you know, Vietnam and hippies and,
yeah.
you know, love and hate and anger and war, and it was just like,
yeah, what
now on Jimi steroids Hendrix. Without the internet.
When did Jimi Hendrix die?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, without the internet, yeah. Without the internet coming to fruition throughout the life.
Affecting it.
Yeah.
You know, and how weird that we, like, watch wars now, like football games.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, we watch war coverage. Those are somebody's kids.
I know.
It's insane.
I don't know, probably where I'm at in life. I don't know what it is, but when I see it, it's like I'm like, why would people ever have thought that this would be a solution to just go
It's
kill?
So weird that everyone doesn't just stop and go, are you
is
having
there
fun?
Enough of this?
Are you having fun? I'm not really having much fun. Are you having fun?
Right.
None of us are having fun. Why are we doing this? And like, have a sandwich.
Right.
Like, put down your gun and have a sandwich. I promise if they would start dropping sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of bombs.
What kind of sandwich?
Everyone's hangry.
Everyone's hangry. My daughter started to use that word lately.
I've been putting broccolini on sandwiches lately, and I can't stop.
Oh.
I can't stop. It's like an addiction.
Is there cheddar on that sandwich, too?
No, I've been doing a lot of like Italian meats, like porchetta.
With broccolini.
You know, with broccolini.
Is it chopping it up or what?
Full stalks of it.
Okay.
Laid in there like a shoebox. And then ricotta, honey, and chili peppers. This is my addiction right now.
Huh.
And I love it.
What kind of bread?
Usually like some sort of like, there's like this Spanish loaf that I've been getting from Central Market that's really soft and I'll just like toast it.
Yeah.
And then ricotta, honey, pepper flakes, a couple different meats. Iberico pork's really good on there.
Okay.
Serrano ham and the freaking broccolini. There's something about the honey and the everything that just...
Wouldn't it be...
I should have brought you one.
I would have devoured it. Wouldn't it be nice if you got the okay? And they're like, you're like flying over in a helicopter, like shooting out
sandwiches. Imagine getting to be Santa of sandwiches. Right. You know what I mean? And everyone just said they're going to be confused. But I promise a whole bunch of people put down their gun and are like, should we eat sandwiches?
Yeah, I mean.
Sandwiches could cause world peace if we just would deploy them correctly.
There we go. That's going on t-shirt.
Yes. Right.
Well, I will tell you this. We may not be in a war zone. I mean, well, it's depending on how you look at some of these kitchens and how they're being operated. But we used to, and we need to get back into it, and I will invite you out on one of these. Mm. We call it Get Smashed. I don't know what we call it, but we go, we roll up to a kitchen before they're about to get into the weeds. We bring our flat top. We bring some good stop beef. 2 ounce patties, doubles with the American.
Feed the people.
It's the kitchen, back of the house, front of the house. Welcome to come out there too.
But man, that back house, feed them.
Oh yeah, we feed them. And then
they get
some Ramblers and then they go on their shift.
I want in on that real bad.
We'll do it.
I told you, I love feeding people. That's all I want to do. Yeah,
we were doing it weekly And we're going to get back into it.
How do you pick which restaurant? Do people ask? Do people raise their hand?
People do ask, but I just call. I'm like, hey.
Y'all want some burgers?
Yeah. I'm like, we're going to come this day.
Are they so suspicious?
Oh, no. The crew sometimes, if they haven't, they're like, what? What's going on?
Because they're so busy, like, just being behind the scenes and not getting that love.
Well, the only you have to just, is it okay to come at 10:30 before your shit hits a fan? Because if you show up and they're like, dude,
it's already triage. Yeah.
You can't come. It's like 12:30, dude.
Stuff your burgers, dude. We don't have time for that.
But very fun to do. And we'll do a Get Smashed with Amber.
Oh, my God. I would love it. I mean,
it's ideal with branch riders, but
absolutely.
But if the restaurant won't allow it, we'll bring Ramblers. It's fine.
Or we'll bring cups.
Oh yeah, we'll have branch riders. Yeah, no, that's so we can extend that to you. So, how do we choose restaurants? So
that's a fascinating topic.
Next topic, segment.
Mm-hmm. Segment.
The other segment that we have, do you know what this would be from? We have a reoccurring segment on this show.
Okay.
Do you know what that quote is from? We have a reoccurring segment on this show.
It sounds familiar, but it's not coming.
Hot Ones with Sean Evans?
Oh, my God. And I even did that one time. I had a band come on that, like,
you
on their rider. I did, because not officially.
Okay.
No. I had a band come in, and their rider said they loved spicy food, and so I fed them salsas.
You did a Hot Ones.
Yeah, in the hosting position. I fed these musicians, like, spicier and spicier salsas.
You know what? The next time I get somebody who's, like, anything, like, if we get... you know, maybe we get Fresas.
Oh, God, I love Fresas.
We're doing a Hot Ones episode.
We have to. I think it's so hilarious. Gordon's great on Hot Ones.
Oh, he's arguably like the master. The best. Like, and then they had him return
because
he's bringing treats.
He's so funny. That's what people don't know about him. He is so funny.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
Okay, so you've got a segment.
Okay, so I'm joking. The segment is your favorite places to eat here in Austin. And this is the everybody struggles with where it's like, oh, we're hungry. Where do you want to go eat? Okay, so
I don't struggle.
Shoot.
When people come in town, or even if I'm just whatever, Loro,
great
suggestion. To me, Loro is such a beautiful microcosm of the Austin culinary scene.
Yeah.
Because you've got Asian Smokehouse. You've got that Central Texas barbecue with the Asian fusion flavors, which is like my platform in life. And I have never had something there that I didn't absolutely love. It's got the outdoor seating, incredible drinks. The ginger old fashioned makes me so happy.
Mm, that sounds good.
The corn fritters, I'm pretty sure, are laced with crack.
MSG, maybe?
At the very least, on the burnt end, when I had low morale days at my old job, I would go get a $5 bag of that burnt end popcorn, and it would just turn everything around.
That's great.
Loro is my hands down favorite.
And it's also like, you don't have to go to Franklin's and wait in line. Nope. You don't get to go to Uchi.
And pay that price.
You
it's like,
there. Get the best so of both worlds.
Good.
Yeah.
So good.
That's a great suggestion.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite place here in Austin? That's any others?
I mean, that's when it starts getting muddied. Like, when I start getting into, like, second and third favorites.
Sure.
Like, Ho Ho Chinese Barbecue up at Parmer and 35.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Absolutely love that, too.
All right.
I love Ho Ho.
All right.
Like, I have a girlfriend that we have, like, every few months we have Ho Ho dates where we act like we are getting takeout for our whole families, but it's just us.
So it's leftovers, right?
Oh, I make up fake families when I make takeout orders so that I feel better. I will talk to
Timmy
people.
Timmy might want
you know what? The
four
kids,
orders of
the kids want four egg rolls. Yeah, I do that. I lie on the phone. Now I just told I can't do it ever again because I just said
it
publicly.
You can do it. They're not going to know.
I lie. I lie and act like I have a family so I can order egregious amounts of takeout.
That is, that's funny.
And they always tell me, it's a lot of food. I'm like, I know. I know it is.
So when you go out to eat, like, do you end up ordering? Are you the type that orders, like, everything? Try it out?
One or two of everything. Baseline, like, one of everything. And then if I love something, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when Odd Duck was just a trailer.
Yeah.
And we went there and ordered three of everything on the menu, just full stop. And it was, like, the best day of my life.
So, I mean, that is my favorite way to go eat, especially if you go to eat with a chef and they want to do that. Because you get to sit back. You say, they'll do the ordering.
It's the best.
You're fine.
People can count on me for that. Like, are y'all cool with it that I just order?
And have you ever had anyone say, oh.
No. My friends love it too because I'll be like dinner party and then I'll just create the menu. Or when we go on group trips, I create the menu, I do the grocery shopping, and then I just put in Venmo requests. And everyone loves it because they don't have to think.
Right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up, but I'm genuinely curious, and I breezed over it. You mentioned your mother cooking.
Yeah.
What is your favorite dish that she was cooking?
Oh my God. So there's this one specific time, and it's a vivid core food memory for me. When I was in high school, she used to make this pork roast all the time, just like a Boston butt pork roast with onion gravy. My family's German Irish.
Nice.
She would make that all the time. But there was this one specific time that she made that, and she used to make fresh bread all the time. And it was when I was working in a restaurant, and I was front of house at an Italian restaurant in San Antonio. I worked the pizza counter and the takeout. I had my little headset. But I would work pretty late, and I came home this one night. I vividly remember taking leftovers of that pork roast, and then she had this really amazing, like, she had gone to an actual cheese shop and gotten smoked provolone, and then her fresh bread. And I made this sandwich that night that caused me to make it every night till that pork was gone. I think I had it 5 nights in a row.
Okay.
So for some reason, and she made probably better things.
Yeah.
She cooked a lot of different stuff, but that specific pork roast with homemade bread, even though it was pretty simple, straightforward, potentially even kind of bland food, you know, just onions and salt.
But she's making the bread.
She made the bread.
That's great.
How the hell did she do it? I don't know. But like, I think about it all the time. Her meatballs.
Do you really?
I do. Her meatballs were amazing. I learned my meatballs from her. But like that specific thing, every once in a while I'm like, I would probably pay $50 for that sandwich.
Okay. So from what I gather, world peace with sandwiches, your favorite sandwiches. Memories from sandwiches.
Honestly, sandwiches, like my heart's shaped like a sandwich. I love sandwiches.
So how about like heart-shaped sandwich? Like that's your concept.
It's cute and I don't hate it at all.
That's like Amber Sandoz.
That's funny. Like somebody used to call me Amber Sandwich and I don't know why. Okay. I don't even know why.
I think we're figuring it out.
Because
right,
like what
here.
Dish couldn't be improved made into a sandwich?
I mean, sandwiches are the best.
It's
right?
Everything.
Right.
Yeah, everything you can want and more.
I mean, it is. And like when you get a sandwich, I mean, I think heart-shaped sandwich.
I love it. That's really cute. And I'm all about the love and butter. Like,
make it a thing.
Wait, so what's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, I mean, because what is a sandwich? It's anything and everything, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's kind of walk away from hot dogs and Euros and like focus on a sandwich.
Man.
I mean, I do love hot dogs.
So I just have to go down. I love a good breakfast sandwich. And I like to just make it at home.
What's your king? What's your perfect breakfast sandwich?
I mean, for me, it's pretty simple. Like I love sausage, like a pork sausage maybe, with like an over easy egg.
Classic.
American cheese.
Yes.
Right? And maybe like a spicy mayo on there.
Is there like a runny egg or a scrambled egg or no egg?
Yeah, no, it would be runny. Yeah, for
naturally.
Sure.
Naturally.
Yeah, but there's like bun toasted.
Yeah. Are you croissant? Are you biscuit?
I mean, that I would probably make it large and like on like some kind of sourdough or something.
I love that.
Like Easy Tiger makes, I think it's called their Austin sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
That'd be a good move.
Just that.
I like that.
I'm a big breakfast sandwich guy.
Oh, I love it. I have one that I call the sandwich.
The sandwich.
Yeah. It's got to be a biscuit.
Okay.
True yellow mustard on one side,
yeah.
Mayonnaise on the other, peppered jalapeno bacon from HEB.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
White cheddar, super thinly sliced red onions, and a runny egg.
Yeah.
There is something about that specific combination, and I did steal that from my ex, so if I feel like he's going to find out I said it. It
but
was his creation.
That's called the sandwich.
The sandwich.
Okay.
And for some reason, exact elements, it's insane.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Okay. All right.
That's the breakfast sandwich for me.
We'll feature that at the heart-shaped sandwich opening.
Oh, my God, it will.
In October or whenever.
You know what? Yeah. I should at least do like a, you know what? I'm just going to make that a goal.
I mean, it would
I'm
be
just
cool.
going to go, I love it. I love it so much, honestly. Heart-shaped sandwich makes me really happy.
Yeah, I like that.
It's like heart-shaped box.
Exactly
reference,
what I was thinking, what I was
which I love.
Right.
Yeah, I'm into it.
So you could even like go with that kind of like vibe.
I'll make one for you too. You'll be like, you deserve a sandwich on the menu.
Okay, all day.
All day.
All day sando.
And it's going to really confuse people. All day, all day?
All day, all day. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
The inflection will be necessary.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the most commonly ordered sandwich, I'm sure.
Oh, of course.
Naturally.
That name reference is, it's not always picked up by everybody.
Well, you got to be You got to know.
You got to know, but it's also like I've even gotten confused. Like some things you they grow and they become what they are.
They become other things. Some people be like, oh, all day. Like they love it all day. But it's like, no, that's...
Right. Six sandwiches.
That's how many sandwiches we need.
Right. But like it's also like, oh, Austin all day. We'll do that all day.
But that's what makes it a clever name because now it appeals to all the people taking it however they want.
I still have a list. And like we were talking about like... Naming conventions are hard. Right, I was like, well, like Austin Kitchen Confidential. I was like, I'll get sued.
You will. 100% you will. But great.
Right.
But it was almost worth it.
There was a long list, and then I felt like it was a weird one to choose, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I still struggle with that. On like if I do food trucks or cookbooks or websites, anymore. I just know. Heart-shaped sandwich.
That's it.
That actually kind of encompasses a lot about me. I love it. Congratulations, you've done it.
Right, and then we just need somebody with a helicopter license to go fly.
I want people.
Then let's
we're gonna
rogue.
Oh my God, world peace. We're going to Ukraine.
Yeah, right? Just fling them out, right? I mean, it would be kind of cool.
Don't forget to wipe your mouth, kids. Like, yeah, just it could be like everyone's mommy. And I would love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I've been anticipating this. I know people have been excited you're coming on. So
it's, I love people.
Yeah. You're welcome to come back. Actually, I don't even know if you know this.
I don't know.
You're already scheduled to come back.
Yes. When? When?
April 20th of all days.
Oh, I'm leaving that day.
Oh, crap.
No, with I'm Chef leaving. Fish.
Well, then we
wait,
will.
Wait, what time? We'll take this offline.
We could do
it. I fly out that evening, so we might maybe be able to make it happen.
We'll make it work. We're flexible.
I would love to come bother him, too.
Okay, yeah, totally. Fun. So thank you so much. Looking forward to Heart-Shaped...
Heart-Shaped sandwiches.
All right.
I love it. Thank you.
Cheers.